And I can't get to sleep at night. The parking lot's so loud and bright. The AC hasn't worked in 20 years. Probably never made a single person cold. But I can't say the same for me. I've done it many times.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Monday morning. We do appreciate it. It's at 251-343-0106. Any of you subscribe to these streaming services, particularly the news ones, and not Netflix or whatever, but like a Fox Nation. I'm curious what the market is for that, as Chris Wallace is departing Fox News for CNN Plus. But hit us up on the text line, 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program this morning, about an hour from now, State Representative Mike Ball will be with us. We'll talk about his Monument Preservation Act tweak and some of the things, ideas he has about ethics, the ethics law, the sweeping ethics law that took down Mike Hubbard. He would like to take some of the power away from the prosecutor there. Also on the program today, Orange Beach Mayor Tony Kennan, that's in the 11 o'clock hour, and WVNN's Dale Jackson with us in the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour, so please stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, I'm very pleased to bring on my next guest. He represents folks up Russellville, if you're not familiar with that, northwest corner-ish of Alabama, just south of the Shoals. State Representative Jamie Keel on the line with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. It's good to be on with you.
Hey, thank you for making time. We certainly do appreciate it. Let's kick it off here. You have a pre-filed bill pertaining to abortions. My understanding of it, it's similar to the Texas law that the Supreme Court has been reluctant, at least, to deal with. They are allowing it to proceed as the Texas Assembly has written it, has offered it, and passed it into law and signed by Governor Abbott. Talk about your effort a little bit.
Well, it does mirror the Texas law. That was my intent because that law so far has stood up in court. It has not been overturned. My intent was to mirror that law as closely as possible and to stop abortion in the state where we can.
And, you know, I think it was Capital Journal over the weekend. You're kind of talking about this and the idea that you're waiting, while we wait on the Supreme Court to make a ruling one way or another, kind of giving us some kind of definitive idea on Roe versus Wade, you think that this is kind of a good stopgap.
Yeah, so, you know, in 2019, our legislative bodies passed what many called the strictest anti-abortion law in the nation, and the governor signed it, and so that was put in effect. However, it's been held up by a court, and so that it's, you know, until Roe Wade is overturned, our law that we passed is not in effect. And so when I saw that Texas had this idea of stepping outside of the criminal penalty and making it a civil penalty to help or aid an abortion, I see that as just what you said, a stopgap effort. In Texas, I've seen numbers anywhere from 55 to 100 abortions were performed per day before their current bill went into effect. And so the way I see that is that every day that Texas law stands, 55 to 100 babies are being saved every day. And so if one more day we can keep the courts from overturning or putting a stay on that law, we save 100 more babies. Well, in Alabama, the best number I can see is that there's about 16 babies a day that are murdered via abortion every day in Alabama. And so my point is, if Roe Wade is overturned, that's great. I think it should be. Our state has already has a strong law in case that happens. But until then, 16 babies a day are killed in Alabama. And so if we could put this bill in effect, if the courts let it stand one day, 16 lives are saved. 2 days, 32 lives, and so forth. And so when we get in session, you know, from the time we can pass this and the governor can sign it until hopefully in June or whenever it is the United Supreme Court overturns or rules at least on Roe Wade, then we will save babies in the meantime. And that's important to me.
Let's talk about the bill itself. It's civil, right? It's not criminal, so I think that's an important distinction.
That's right. And so, you know, the bill that we passed in 2019 that Terry Collins sponsored did hold people criminally responsible, and they would be, charged with a criminal crime if they aided or assisted in an abortion. And that's what has been held up in court. This would simply allow a person to be tried in civil court and fined up to $10,000 for assisting in an abortion.
Is this similar to the Texas law? Do you need any kind of standing, or is it just if you want to sue on behalf or if you want to take the action into court on behalf of somebody? How does the process begin, I suppose?
Yeah, it's just like the Texas law where you bring civil action against the person that aided, abetted, or actually did the abortion, a clinic or a doctor or a nurse or whoever it might be. That's who would be held responsible, and that's who would be sued. And any citizen could do that.
Now it looks like you got a long list of co-sponsors here. This is another one of those bills where you see a list like this, you got to feel pretty good or pretty optimistic about your prospects.
Well, it's not something I had to work for. I announced that I had the bill and that if anybody would like to co-sponsor it, I would be happy for them to. And I had a line of folks that were ready and willing to assist me with it, and that's how I got that long list of co-sponsors.
Have you had any input from, like, the Attorney General or any, how would this, how this plays out? What are you hearing beyond the legislature?
No, I haven't heard from the Attorney General. I would assume that they would use the same defense mechanism that Texas has used so far that has been successful there. It has overcome more than one federal appeals court ruling, including the United States Supreme Court's ruling on Friday that allowed the law to stand until it was further dealt with in a lower court. And so, the Supreme Court had a chance to stay it, overturn it on Friday, and did not do that.
Yeah, and you got to look at this court right now, just based on what we've seen so far, that they're going to be more sympathetic to these types of efforts, I think, than they've ever been.
Well, it does seem that way. I mean, we've got finally, after years of, being controlled by liberal judges, it seems that the Trump nominees, the Trump appointees, are finally in a position where they can make a change on the court.
Yeah, and that's I think that's these elections have consequences, and the Republican president has had a pretty decent run with appointing Supreme Court justices. We're joined by State Representative Jamie Keel here on the program. Representative, with this bill, here's the I know you're a freshman legislator, so you probably maybe didn't get to experience this in 2018 per se, but typically it's tough to get something like this done in an election year. At least that would be seen to be the historical precedent. I know this quadrennium was a little different because we had COVID-19 and you lost a year there in 2020, really lost an entire session. But what do you think of that as being a hurdle that a lot of these guys want to pass the budgets and get back to the campaign trail and get back to fundraising? What do you think? Could you make this a campaign issue, perhaps?
Well, I guess one could do that, but that's not my purpose in this bill. My sole purpose in presenting this bill and hopefully getting it made into law is to save the lives of babies. I have no political reason. You said it. It's an election year. I have no political reason to fight this fight during election year. It is simply about saving the lives of the 16 babies that are killed in Alabama every day, and that's my sole motivation behind it. And I think that there's enough support, in the Alabama legislature, enough folks see it the same way that we'll put politics aside on this and save lives.
Representative, I guess, what do you think about, looking at a passage in the Senate, have you found anybody to carry your bill upstairs, or are you even talking to anybody about that?
I have not. I haven't spoken with a senator yet, but, we passed the 2019 bill. I mean, it's as solid as they come. And, we passed it House and Senate. I don't think there'll be any issue with finding someone to carry it in the Senate.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just how that passed. The other part of that is, and I've seen already a little bit of this pushback from the usual suspects, particularly in Alabama media, the columnist at AL.com, who we won't mention their names right now. But are you worried about that? The pushback, or is this just how the process works?
Yeah, I suppose the way the process works. I mean, if there's always opposing views, my position is that babies' lives need to be saved, and that's what it comes down to for me is the right to life for a human being that is formed inside the mother's womb, and I believe that person inside the womb has a right to live.
I mean, with the 2019 abortion law, though, the national media really came in. These guys were they were the target of, like, even SNL, their weekend update. Their names were doxed or whatever you want to call it. Senator Garland Gudger up at Coleman talking about getting threats. I mean, that's just something. Maybe it's because Texas has already done this, and maybe that is not quite as compelling for some of these guys to do so. But that just seems to be always the threat here in Alabama when we try to lead the way on something like this.
Yeah, and you've got a good point there. We're not leading the way. It's already done. Precedent's already set, and so it would still be worth it if it was not, but it's already being done in another state, and other states are doing or going to do the same thing. I mean, it's coming. So we're going to be one of many states who have this type bill presented in the next legislative session and presumably will pass.
Yeah, and it does sound like you got a lot of you do have a lot of a tailwind here that now if you're going to do it, now's the time to do it. It's not time to wait a year. Kind of gets back to my question about getting things done in the fourth year quadrennium, but while we're talking about it, while it's fresh on people's mind, and particularly as we head into what the Supreme Court could do next summer, that this would be the appropriate time to do so.
Yeah, well, I mean, a year from now, hopefully Roe Wade is overturned and our 2019 legislation is the law of the land. But until then, that's the issue. Until then, abortion is still legal in Alabama. And so that is the hope, is that a year from now, we're not talking about this bill. We already have a solid bill in place in case Roe Wade is overturned, and that would be the law in Alabama.
Representative, just kind of switch gears here. Looking at the 2022 session, I mean, we're just a little over a month away. A lot of talk about what might happen. Are you anticipating anything else? I guess beyond what your effort here, but I guess a constitutional carry bill is on the docket, and maybe some other things. But it seems like not to have high expectations for anything like gambling or anything of that sort.
I would hope not. I've heard rumors that, gambling could be there. I do think that we're going to pass constitutional carry this time. I believe there's widespread support. I believe we have leadership support. And so I do believe that will be considered, and I believe it will have enough support to pass this coming session.
And then that was something that, you know, now that we have the prohibited user database, it becomes much more, I think, palatable for some of these guys, your colleagues, you know, former law enforcement guys. They just didn't want the wrong people having firearms. But that seems like now that we have that you have support in places that you didn't have it before.
Well, I did take away a lot of the argument that some of those some law enforcement had, but I think there are several co-sponsors of the couple of constitutional carry bills that are being proposed. I think there are several law enforcement officers who have now decided to co-sponsor that legislation because of that. So it is much more widely accepted now than it was a couple of years ago, and I think we've got the momentum. I've co-sponsored the legislation ever since I've been in Montgomery. I believe it's important. You know, I think if you have a constitutional right like free speech or the right to gather at church, that you shouldn't have to pay a tax to do that. And I think the right to gun ownership is the same way. There's no reason to pay a tax in order to exercise your constitutional right to carry a firearm.
Representative, we're up against a break here, but you've been very kind this morning. We do appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks. That was State Representative Jamie Keel, Russellville, Republican of Russellville, joining us. Talking about his abortion legislation. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.